So I guess maybe we can, we have a presentation here, but if it's okay with you all, maybe I can spend the first 10 minutes, please. Are we getting another uncomfortable that you're not interested in? Okay. So I can just first give you, just a really quick overview of, where we see the opportunities. Kind of brought it up on earnings calls and stuff, but I can kind of just cover that. So if you look at the three businesses that we have, there are some common links to the opportunities that are there. So because we supply a lot of building blocks that go into the power infrastructure, supply chain, it starts off really with a whole lot of addition that's happening in renewable energy around the world. So solar installations, wind installations, also nuclear power plants are, starting to come up because they are now classified as a clean energy. And we have a presence in India. We're trying to build that presence outside India. So that's one area where, so you've got basically generation. So you have cables going into generation. You have conductors going into evacuation from there, because then from each of these locations, you have to evacuate power that goes into a grid. And then you have transformer oil that goes into every transformer that's there. You'll have one transformer, a step up transformer, at the site for it to go into the grid, then step down transformers, as part of the grid. So that's how, these three major areas, will benefit from the addition of this, of the solar, wind, etc., the energy generation. Then you've got transmission networks that are being strengthened all over the world. And in most cases, what's happening is that the locations where you can get this renewable energy is quite different than where the consumption is taking place. Like, for example, if you take solar, the cost of real estate plays a very important role if you want to set up, very large farms. So then the transmission line is therefore that much longer. The second, area where you're seeing the growth coming from is, is public transportation. So on the public transport side, you've got a lot of metros and railway which is going in, because that's again a cleaner form of transportation in terms of, emissions. So in India, the networks have become from diesel to, electric. And if you see the amount of assets which are being added in India for rolling stock, which is both locomotives as well as passenger, that again actually is quite cable intensive, because you have a lot of cables for instrumentation in the locomotive, and then you have the last point wiring that goes through the coaches. And in all cases, you end up having this generation at one point in the train. And then, the power getting transferred through that. So you have longer trains and, trains with more electric points. The intensity of wiring is going up. So that's another, major area of growth. The third one that we see, which, we've not realized fully yet, but it's coming up, is this whole 5G rollout happening around the world. And that's where the interesting part is, that in 5G, not only do you need fiber optic, but you also need hybrid fiber optic with copper, because the power intensity is also quite different. And, the number of sites is 5x, 10x of what it is, in 4G. So the intensity of the density of towers is much higher, and you need this cabling to run through. So for example, some of the cables which are going into the US have started going into that, because there's a 5G rollout is happening quite rapidly. So that's another another major sort of area of growth. So and then finally, in our cable business, one of the opportunities that we see is, we've taken our electron beam technology and converted it into a house wire. So today we're the only player that actually has that. I think people like Polycab and all can also come into making wires in that manner, and the whole market will expand. But these wires are the last mile, building wires that would go into a building. But they carry three really significant USPs. One is it has a 50-year life. It was a technology that we used to make the polymer the same as what we use, you know, for the defense and the nuclear power plants. So once you wire it 50 years, you know, we have data to prove that, you know, the wire can last for at least 50 years. Secondly, it can carry 50% more current than a conventional wire. And I guess it's becoming important in today's context because you don't know what power you're going to consume. I mean, 5 years down the line, you'll have robots for cleaning. I don't know what else electrical you'll have in the house, you know. And the third thing is it's melt resistant. So it becomes almost short circuit proof. The short circuit happens when the insulation of a wire, when it's overheated, it falls off. And then two naked wires touch each other and there's a fire, sparking fire, etc. In these wires, they are melt resistant. So it will, even if there is smoke, it will be hours before which the insulation will melt off the wire. So you can prevent a short circuit fire taking place because the smoke would get detected and, you know, put off the installation. So it has higher safety, it has longer life, and it has much higher capacity. So we started seeing good traction for it, you know, whichever we started in two states, Kerala and Gujarat. Wherever we have been able to show a demo of this wire versus another wire, of any wire, the customer, especially if they're the final decision maker, 90% of the time they choose, because it costs only 1,000 rupees a square foot extra. 1,000 rupees, it costs one rupee a square foot to increase the wire. So you take a 1,000 square foot flat, you'll spend 1,000 rupees in selecting if you choose this wire above, you know, a discounted wire that's available. So these are the areas where we see you know, our growth taking place. Fortunately, the most of these areas, the growth is not only restricted to India, but at the same time, everywhere in the world, the same effects are there. So there's non-conventional energy getting added everywhere. And especially in developed markets. So in these markets, you know, earlier, our products didn't find any, and there wasn't enough capex going on for our products. Right now, it's the exact opposite. If you are able to deliver faster, you can get a premium price for it. Secondly, this whole railway thing is not, again, restricted to India. Every city is expanding their subways, metros, because, again, you know, the emission is much lower in an urban concentrated area. The third thing is that one of the things we've done also along with the house wires is that we've made auto cables, and we've been focusing on a niche of actually buses, because they require much larger harnesses compared to a passenger car. We already have Motherson, Sumi, so many other big companies already there. So we are supplying to Electra, we are supplying to JBM, you know, all these bus fellows. So that business also slowly is becoming more meaningful. You know, Mumbai will be the first city to switch entirely to electric. I think it should happen sometime in 2024. Entire BSP fleet will be electric. So our wires are going into, you know, all of these. So these are the sort of broad areas where we see. The good thing is that, you know, to this whole infrastructure buildup is not something that's going to happen in a couple of years. It's you know, it will take 5-10 years for it to happen around the world. And because it is happening with such a broad base, we feel much more confident that, you know, year on year, the business will come. When it's very constant, when your buyer is very concentrated, then you are at the vagaries of the buyer, right? If they suddenly don't want to spend capex, your business reduces. Whereas here, the base itself is so huge that, and so many customers are there around the world requiring these products. That's why we have the confidence that it's going to be a year-on-year, you know, sort of growth. So that's a very high-level overview. I can spend a few minutes on each of the segments which are there. So if you see on the conductor segment, I would say that there are two major things which have happened, because, you know, you see the profitability has increased substantially. Yes. And if one were to, you know, boil it down to tell you in 2 minutes what has actually changed, right? So what has changed are two things. One is that there is a set of premium products which we've been working on for years, which have now found a market. So we have these high efficiency conductors, which are now increasingly being used for getting power into cities. So it first started with a mega city like Mumbai and Delhi. Delhi mein to still there was more space, but Mumbai there is absolutely no space coming in. But it's now started going into the second tier cities because the electrical consumption there is growing at a much faster pace than even in the in the metro. So you have the Pune's, the Nagpur's, the Mangalore of the world, where again this requirement is coming up. Second thing is this OPGW, which is really an earth wire. So in a conductor, you have an earthing wire at the, which is the last wire that you see. So that used to be just made out of steel, galvanized steel. Now it has a fiber optic core in it because every opportunity that you have where you can carry data is going in. Because, data is the new oil and it's just going to explode. So, and the most reliable form of transmitting data is on a fiber. So this OPGW is growing and we see during this COVID period, there was a lot of delay in awarding contracts and executing contracts, but now it's clearly catching up. And for any new transmission line, the earth wire is pretty much being specified as an OPGW wire. The third product line that we've been working on is copper-based products. So erstwhile, our entire conductor business dealt only with aluminum and aluminum alloys. Whereas today, we started off with this railway electrification, where we developed the catenary wire and contact wire. So India, now that electrification program, the basic electrification program is getting over. It'll get over by the end of 2024, the bulk of the money will be spent. But the interesting thing is that actually when this electrification was coming on, APAR presented to the railway board and RDSO, the specifying authorities there, to use a alloy and copper alloy, because that can carry much more power and you can use it to run the high speed trains. But at that point in time, there were two problems. One is A, the railway didn't want to spend more money. B, we would have been the only supplier of that because we had developed the technology ourselves and none of the other suppliers could produce that. So all the wiring which has gone in, the conductoring which has gone in is just standard copper catenary wires and contact wires. Now, India is starting to speed up the trains. So the demand for that is now going to come up. So hopefully because of that, this business will, the railway electrification business also will continue. In addition to that, we added copper transpose conductors, which are conductor windings that go into the core of a transformer. And we also added, we've just recently added copper bus bars. So when you go into any installation, in the meter rooms or any of these, you'll find one big bus bar of copper from which then, all the tappings are taken for the various meters. So that's kind of building into the copper capability that, we have. And finally, the icing on the cake actually for the conductor business is that our turnkey business has been growing. And what we've done is that our turnkey business is actually very focused around the specialized products that we manufacture. So we have no intention of competing against Kalpataru or KEC or Tata Power or any of these guys on normal transmission lines. Our focus is around our high efficiency conductors, OPGW, all these, where there is an element of working with the end client on specifying the product, designing the network, and then delivering the product as well as the supply. So our supply portion or our manufactured product needs to be a significant part of the total turnkey. The advantage that is brought is that A, we are much closer to the customer, so we can come up with the right solution for them, which are directly in touch. B, you're eliminating a very important layer that was resulting in deflating our prices. The EPC guys would take the order and then, they'll try to compete 3-4 companies against each other. So in this case, we have more expertise than the EPC companies, for especially when you are doing reconductoring of lines. So the combination of these things is what has helped, the conductor business. So the premium products have started coming from these five areas.
Just to understand the impact of the commodity cycle out there, On a conventional conductor, like-to-like basis, what would be change in your spread per ton basis, say, 2 years ago and now?
So, you know, before we had this range of products, right, if you just do conventional conductor, I'll answer your question by just completing one last sentence. So what has happened here is that 44% of our revenues are coming from these five. So you take the order book, which is there, which is about 4,800 odd crores. 44% of that is coming from these five product lines. And you've got CTC and busbars and all, which are ordered on a month-to-month basis. So it doesn't actually carry a, you know, a long-term order book like OPGW or HEC or these turnkey projects. So we feel that, you know, this 40-odd percent is something that's here to stay for a while. Second thing is that the commodity or the standard conductors which were there, which we were selling in India and not making in much margin or making no margin on, that entire portfolio we have now started exporting. And just to explain in a very simple language, you know, the problem in India is that, you know, everything goes by a two-bit process. So once you clear a technical specification, then no matter how good or bad your product is, you are at the whoever the cheapest gets the order. So in short, 41 on 100 and 100 on 100 is equated to the same price. And so as a consequence, if you're putting in a lot of more effort in terms of process, quality, whatever, none of that is actually getting captured in the form of the customer appreciating or paying for it. So today what's happened is with the overseas markets having opened up, especially the United States, Australia, Europe, etc., we've taken this, we are selling premium products in India and we've taken our standard products and started exporting it. So in fact, if you take the last quarter order book, I think standard products is less than 5 crores order intake that you take.
So here, just you can give us an idea about the competitive, so, you know, scenario in your standard. You said India is very competitive and because of L1 and all buildings out, but globally, how are we compared to other global players who might be supplying?
So you know, in you take, for example, the US market. So the US also has conductor manufacturers, but they have some limited capacity. And over the years, these networks are not being built at all. So the capacity have come down, you know, to a very large extent. Now, today, for people to set in new capacity, A, it's quite expensive. B, manpower is not available. So you build the plant, but then it needs to be staffed. So as a consequence, what we are finding is that for products like ours, local manufacture is not something that's happening or is very easy to do, you know, at a very large scale.
No, sir, but your Indian competitor here in the standard conductors, can he not go to?
Yeah, so the thing is what that, you know, the so here, if supposing the pass mark is 4,100, in for many of these customers, the pass mark start from 70 and go up to 90. So as a result, the people who you have to compete with or the kind of product that they have to deliver in order to satisfy that client's requirements is significantly higher. And the main reason for that is that these guys look at a life cycle cost of the product, because the product lasts for, you know, it's supposed to last for 35, 40 years, but can last for 50 years. So we are looking at the life cycle cost. Whereas here, what is happening is that people look, especially many of the government buyers, that they have a certain budget. They want to make sure that they maximize usage of their budget. That doesn't take into account the life cycle cost. What are the losses on the line? How long will it last? Those sort of things.
So your Indian competitors won't have similar quality as yours.
So Sterlite is the one company that, you know, we compete with all over the place. Sterlite Power. They have almost a comparable range of products as we have, except that they are less focused than we are on this business.
The other smaller ones would not be able to.
You don't, meaning,
yeah, one is that, other is that, you know, they also look at companies having a very strong risk management framework. So some of the smaller players, they don't have so much, you know, all this appetite for doing hedging and all. They may end up trying to speculate, you know, the price of aluminum, which we don't do at all.
Chinese globally would be more competitive than us, but because they don't.
We're not more competitive than us. We were facing a big problem with China because of the FTAs that China had.
Okay.
We are as competitive as the Chinese in terms of all of these products, pretty much. So on like-to-like field, we were always able to compete. So in Canada, where the Indians had zero duty, Chinese had zero duty, we were competing against them. Australia, China had a 4% advantage. In the US, China and Australia had 4% advantage. In the US, it had 5%. But now, Chinese product, you have to pay 25 to 35% duty. So, they're completely out of the game. Even if both of us had the same price point, I think we're in a position to compete.
So, this is a big macro turnaround for us that the US wants to
implement. And I think the Chinese-US relationship, I mean, you know better, is not... We just shot a balloon now, again, there is a problem. So, I think from that standpoint, and one of the good things that the current Modi government is doing is that they are really working on getting FTAs in place. So we have an FTA signed with Australia. We have an FTA signed with the UAE. In the US, fortunately, India is slightly better off than China, but there are discussions going on. And just recently, Mr. Goyal had a specific meeting with, you know, the top 50 exporters from India. And that he mentioned a number of FTAs which are at various stages of negotiation. And one with Europe, I think, is something that he feels will happen. That's another big ticket one which will happen. The UK is on its way. So basically, it's allowing Indian exporters, you know, our export will go up only if we are not at a disadvantage relative to another big player like China.
So for now, in export market, the only worry for you would be US should spend money on the grid infra, and second, you should get all the certifications and build more.
So we already have the certifications in place. That's something that we've invested like anything over the years. We're doing a lot of business development again, but we're not yielding, you know, the result because the spending only were not happening. So whatever spending they were doing, the local guys were able to meet that requirement. And the US mentality generally, you know, for maintenance is one where I want product in 48 hours or 24 hours. Now, unless we start stocking our product there without an order, it was too risky a proposition. What's happening today is a lot of the orders are project orders. You don't need 24-hour delivery. You have to organize when the panels are coming in, when the windmill is coming. It's like a 2-year or an 18-month project. So they tell you what window you need delivery in, so we can plan out and deliver the product in that window.
So at the company level for our conductor business, do you think the current kind of a profit profile per ton basis will sustain? Because that is almost like 2x, 3x of what you used to do 3 years ago. It's
like more than that. So yeah. See, what that's why we've been even guiding that if you look at this current product mix that we have, that base level, which used to be 8,000 to 12,000 rupees per metric ton, that we are comfortable that base itself has moved up to 22 to 24,000 rupees per metric ton just because of the product mix that has changed.
Okay.
In addition to that, if the more premium offerings are there within that. So for example, you take high efficiency conductors, there are different types of conductors. So if you take the very high-end ones, you can carry 2x the power, 3x the power. Obviously, we make more margin on it because there's much more engineering that's gone into that. So currently what's happening is that we have a lot of good tailwinds in there. We have some benefit, which is of the freight. We were hurt before. We have benefited from that currently. So if you take out all these factors and you say you bare bone, there is no tail, there's no wind at all, you know. That itself has gone up now to this 22 to 25,000. And the moment anything else comes in, which is favorable, you can then start working your way above that.
But this is significantly lower than your current number.
Yeah, well, if you take the 9 months, it's at 40,000 rupees a ton.
Okay.
A little bit of the EBITDA has also increased because the interest costs have increased. So that we are factoring in. So you have to look at not only EBITDA, but if you look at, because the interest also has gone up. So when you look at earnings after interest, then, you know, automatically that also has been adjusted because, you know, where you had in the export business, even domestic, but export has been quite stark. We used to get funding at 1.25%, you know, including premium. Today, you are closer to 5% with all the increases that have happened. So that has also been factored into the cost. So the EBITDA has got a little boost from that.
And the tailwind, when we say it, not only includes things like freight and steel, but also things like customer requiring order, you know, much earlier, or, you know, in quick span of time. All those also actually gets into the tailwind,
And
which.
you know, if the US continues to buy, if some of these countries continue to buy, see, today we are seeing some customers who are so pissed off with China that they are taking an undertaking from us. You will not use a single Chinese component in the manufacture of the product. Nothing, no metal, nothing. They would give an undertaking. Now, if these sort of undertakings continue, then obviously you stand to benefit. So, you know, but politics is politics, and I don't think I want to make a call on that. The point here is that if all of these things disappear, you're still at a level which will be a double of what, 2 to 2.5 times of what you were, you know, 3, 4 years ago.
So on this RDS, so now exports you explained very well, but on the domestic part, RDSS is going to be a big deal, and then we want 300 gigawatts of renewable energy. So when we put say 300 megawatts of gigawatts over next 7 years, how much will be the opportunity for conductors and how much for cables? Because as
So, you know, RDSS is actually much more
on the distribution.
on the yeah. So there are two sets of products there. You have your power cables. So they start off with the low volt, meaning the I'd say LV cables, you know, going up to 66 kV. You know, that's the range. Bulk out will be 33 kV and below. And then we have a product which we have pioneered and is now included in this, which is the medium voltage covered conductors, these MVCs. So basically, it's a conductor, but it has a very specialized insulating covering on it. And so it increases safety dramatically of the product, because you can be much closer and not have you know, radiation, even if you touch the wire. Because you know, there are in Mumbai mein you don't see it because it's been mostly underground. But if you go to any place, you go to Bangalore and you go outside anybody's bungalow, you see a cobweb of wires over there, you know. So that's where it has some play. Secondly, it can go into increased safety in any of these places. Like you know, like you take a forest or you take wire, you know, a conductor that's running along the highway, because you have a lot of tree planting happening. So if a branch of the tree goes across two phases, again you'll have a short. So all that gets completely eliminated. So we've pioneered that, you know, in India. We've been educating all the, and they've included it in the RDSS now. So I think, I mean, you know, the rule of thumb, if you go, 3 lakh crores is for
RDSS.
RDSS. About 30% of that is your cable conductor portion, of which I'd say 90% is cable and 10% is conductor. So the conductor demand is going to come from another funding altogether, which is this whole reconductoring, augmenting transmission networks, that sort of
That
stuff.
is over enough.
RDSS is fundamentally focused on improving two things. One is the losses in the distribution setup, and secondly, improving the architecture of the distribution. So if you take today, you know, you go into the rural areas in Maharashtra, you still have 8 to 10 hours of load shedding happening. Not because power is not available, but because there is no way in which they can distribute that power.
Then this 300 gigawatts, whenever it comes, the solar parks, wind parks, it will need a lot of cables and conductors. So do we see some opportunity there for us?
Yeah, we see that opportunity there. Problem in India is that again, that same 41 and 100, you know, and then there are some of the big developers are there, they don't care a damn about quality. They just want to flip the asset. Even big names that are there. So we are supplying to them. We have orders that go in even today into Adani and, you know, some of the other big solar guys. But increasingly, we are finding that as the solar demands are coming up in the US and Europe, they are finding their specifications and standards are much higher. So we are very clear. Whatever gets me the higher margin, X the plant, right? The world is my market.
So from going from your talk, maybe 5 years later, you will be a much larger export. You are still on sitting on 44% exports. You may go to 60, 70. Is that possible or?
Yeah, it's possible. Depends on who pays me more money and values of the products more. It's quite possible. See, 2 years ago, we were a nobody in cable exports. In FY23, we will be the largest exporter from India. We'll leapfrog all the other cable manufacturers. It's you know, I think what we've tried to do here is that any product that we've developed, we've tried to develop it not only for the Indian market, but looking at a
Global.
global standard. And maybe we did it because we are very engineering-driven kind of company, and we believe in tomorrow solutions today, which is our motto. But now it is paying dividend because suddenly, when everyone is buying all over the world, our products are getting accepted more easily.
So in the cables business, you guided for 25% CAGR. So does this division will be a much faster growing division
Yeah,
than
it will be the fastest
the
growing.
So within the cables division, there are two parts. One is the retail, which you are trying, just like a Havells or a Polycab. The second part, which is a low, medium voltage, high voltage, this whole industrial or the grid cables.
No, no, but besides that, so you just go to the cable side, na? There are basically on the cable side, there are multiple, there are five major areas, you know, of the business. So you have one, the first one is what you're talking about, which is the whole power cable. So that low end, meaning in terms of construction complexity, and the low end is the building wire, which is what we have come out with the E-beam building wires that I spoke about. Then you have instrumentation control cables, you have LV cables, MV cables, HV cables, right? So that's one stream. The second stream is your elastomeric cables, which are going into windmills, it's going into your mining segment, etc. So that we have a very strong market share. Windmills, we have 70% share. And the beauty is today that all, you know, solar is not the only way it'll grow, right? Because in the monsoon, you don't get any solar, you get a lot of wind. So now, in fact, our own hybrid, which we have set up with a company called CleanMax to supply clean power into our own cable plant. Because now people are asking for carbon emission footprint on your production in all these markets. So we have already maxed out the solar, which we can do in our facilities. All the rooftops are maxed in terms of
So you're
what can
going
be
with the
done.
wind.
So we've now signed up with CleanMax, and we have a joint venture company which they are going to install and run, but we part invested in which will supply clean power in here. So if you want power around the year, it has to be wind and solar. So we have a good position on the wind side, and we have a global approval in place of most of the wind companies. We have GE, Nordex, Vestas, Siemens Gamesa, all these chaps ka, and there are two Chinese companies are there.
So per megawatt, what would be our content, roughly average, sir? I know
Sorry,
per
what?
megawatt of installation, what would be our cabling content, sir, roughly?
So it varies between solar and wind. In the case of solar, see, there's one cabling which is the string cabling that's on the panels, which is where we have a lot of strength because of electron beam and the construction of that, etc. Simple,
Sure, sir.
but you need a high quality. The other one is actually much, there's a lot of more cable involved just in the panel wiring. The wiring to the panel, etc., which is just a regular LV cable. So there everybody can compete. The string cabling is where we end up having a stronger position. So it's about, I'd say about 10-12% of
Almost
a, in the case of solar is more. In the case of wind, the wind tower itself is very expensive. So it's much, much lower, maybe 5%.
so total value chain put together per megawatt, can we take 1 crore piece of cabling would be involved, sir? Cabling and wire.
No, no, much less than that. Because if supposing you take 6-7 crores per megawatt,
Yes, sir.
because wind is a little costlier
Correct, sir.
than solar.
Okay.
So in the case of wind, it's hardly it's single digit. Whereas in the case of solar, it's like, you know, maybe 12%, 14%, something like that. That's what it is.
So these elastomeric cables are mainly into the renewables.
Yeah, then the next one is this electron beam based cables.
Right.
That's going into rolling stock, railways ka. So locomotive as well as coaches. It goes into all these defense, which is largely navy, because the warships require a huge amount of instrumentation, you know, submarines, frigates, all these. And so that's the other major area of growth for us. And then you have optical fiber. And here, of course, on the OFC side, it's not only OFC, but it's a specialty hybrid, which is a combination of, yeah.
Earthing.
And then there is a separate specialty cables which are being used, niche products by the defense, particularly. Again, which require, in every instance, telecommunication and power. So, for example, you have a balloon. what these Chinese are trying to do, right? So you can have a floating balloon, or you can have a balloon which is actually connected at a point. So there was a plan that India had, and we developed a tether cable for that, which is to have these balloons in about 75 kilometers inside of India's border that can carry cameras that can oversee activity that's happening in 200 kilometers into across the border. So instead of any military movement, any other movement, it can be detected. But I think now they're not going through with that whole thing. But these are the sort of products which are there. It takes you 4 or 5 years to develop the product. If it works, you make a lot of money. If it doesn't work, it's okay.
And these, except for the power, the other four cables would be what proportion of revenue and profits, if you could just break it down? Because power would be the lowest margin, like the power cables.
Power cables is the lowest margin. So if you exclude house wires, what power cables is what? About 40?
That's probably about 25%. We'll see about 10%.
Elastomer will be 25. Okay. The optical fiber will be 10%.
10%.
And the electron beam and specialty would be another 10.
It's actually part of all this.
Okay. So the elastomeric business this year will be around 700 odd crores out of the 3200. But you see, on the power cable side, where our margin has increased or improved is the export of product has
happened. Same story as conductors.
Yeah. Okay. It's all material chori here. People, they don't give what they say. You know, that's not in our DNA, so you know what to do. So you go to a market where people expect you to supply what your specification says. Yeah. We were finding it difficult to do that. Now the markets have opened up. So we have trouble supplying a metro in India, but we are very well placed in Australia, for example. Yeah. We got 50% of the Sydney Metro job. It's a really huge. It's a huge job, 100 plus crores worth of cable. Yahan pe same chakkar.
This is where elastomer and electron beam optical, these are competition become over. Like, are we the only ones? Or there is
competition, but slowly people are getting into it. But then, you know, the market is also growing, the applications also are growing.
Any credible competitors?
So, for example, elastomeric cables, none of the other players are really, the big players have come
Universal.
In. Universal is the only one that's there. You know, we take Polycab, KEI, Havells, they're not really much in the elastomeric, big elastomeric cables. On the electron beam side, Polycab has set up e-beams and Universal has set up beams, but they're focusing only on solar cables at the moment. There are some niche players that are there in this business.
And because the demand environment for cables and conductors both is so good, we are seeing any capacities coming.
So we have, we've mentioned on our call also that we have a plan of adding about 350 crores of capital.
Not very hard, but yeah. Other, because whenever the whole...
Yeah, people goes, will add.
Yeah. And then 3 years later, we again reach an overcapacity. Vaisa nahi lag raha hai abhi.
Well, in certain, if someone is going to focus on only a very narrow part of the product range, you can easily add that. And power cable, it doesn't take very much for you to add capacity for LT cables and stuff like that. But now, the moment you go into the US, you have a UL cable requirement. The conductor portion is standard, but the polymer is totally different. And it requires UL approval. And UL mein kya hai? It's just like FDA. They'll take a sample off the shelf of a CVS and it'll go for testing. And the full traceability is there, right? You have your FDA approval number, everything is there. Same thing on the cable. You have to print your UL approval number. They don't talk to you. They just pull a cable from some construction site and send it for testing. And if that cable fails, that UL is cancelled. You get a letter by email saying, here's the report fail. Use of your cable is suspended. UL. So I think even guys who are here and doing various kinds of things, they will also be a little bit more circumspect. But the market itself is going to expand. So we will see a lot of, I think our protection is basically twofold. One is you have the range of product. Secondly, you don't design and make products only for the Indian market. It should be available for a global audience. If you do these two things, then it will help, you know, secure both growth and profitability. That's what our mantra is that. And we see the developed markets, right? US, Europe, Australia, all these. There was nothing. We could hardly supply anything from here. Now today, the requirement itself has gone up so much. And in Australia, there's hardly any manufacturing left of cables.
So apart from India, like when you compete in these developed markets, who are the other, which are the other countries which are good? Like, so China is now out for various reasons, but apart from
So Chinese cables are there in some places, but you've got some European manufacturers. You've got manufacturers are local also. So for example, Sydney Metro mein Prysmian, which manufactures locally, the largest cable company in the world. So they had 50% of the order. We got 50% of the order. They placed the order on them at a premium to us because of local supply. You know, they had been supplying to all those installations for many, many years. So there will be some the competition will come with, you know, local or regional players. You will have competition from India also. So you have Polycab, you have Havells, all of these guys are also looking at exporting. But the market is huge. FY21, the US imported $19 billion worth of cables. 19 billion. तो हमारा 1,000 करोड़ भी हो गया या 2,000 करोड़ भी हो गया, इट्स स्टिल नॉट सो ह्यूज.
Capex over the next 3 years, what would be 1,000 crores capex you look at, sir?
So we are looking right now at what we've really planned out is about 350 crores. That should see the ratio is around anywhere between 7 to 10 times,
Okay.
you know, approximately. So you put in this 350 crores of capex, you can get 3,000 odd crores of revenue.
Yes.
So that's the, you know, that's the plan. On the cable side, we are looking at a greenfield site, which is not very far from our existing manufacturing location, so that you can then keep expanding at that site, you know, as the demand increases. And the demand has been changing. So, for example, in the US, there was very strong requirement of the building wires going into real estate. Now the housing is reduced, but the infrastructure spend has increased. So the cable construction is also slightly different. So you have to have that flexibility in terms of, you know, configuring your equipment. So once you have the basic place, infrastructure, etc., then you can keep dropping production lines.
So how big is the greenfield site which you are planning, sir? That new site which you are
It's
planning.
about it's spread out on about 45 odd acres of land. So it can accommodate, I would, you know. See, we are occupying currently about 40 acres for producing this. We can produce, you know, about 4,500 crores.
Okay.
But typically, with that, I mean, if I just extrapolate, we can go to about 9,000-10,000 crores on the cable side if we plan it out properly. And so there's sufficient, you know, for the next few years, sufficient. Then after that, if the house wires and all pick up, then one has to see whether you want to set up manufacturing in other parts of the country.
So there you can spend what 500-600 crores of capex, right? The 45.
No, more than that. Right now we have planned 350 crores. It will build up maybe 30% of that.
Because you told
But some of it is going into
that.
existing, some of the capex is going to our existing location. Because anything in greenfield India means it's a 1.5-2 year project, you know,
Correct.
power connection, this, that, land clearances, and all that
Yes.
stuff.
So land is completely acquired, sir.
No, it's in the we've signed the MOU and all that. Final, you know, that all the transfers of all that is happening. So hopefully it should get done in the next couple of months.
Sir, in EHV, anything we are taking initiatives
Well, I mean, if you put a good EHV plant today, it'll cost you about 250 crores. I'd
Okay.
rather put 250 crores on these other product lines where, you know, I already have an established market. There are already four, five major players are there, you know, in EHV.
Yes, sir.
And if the UAE thing comes down, we've got multiple players in the UAE. This free trade agreement comes in.
Okay.
That's the only cable that they can compete with the KEIs and Universals in India. We find Ducab and all these chaps coming in. We would rather concentrate on where we've proved ourselves and our differentiation.
Actually, you have so many products, better quality than what India needs. So you can just talk a little bit about your R&D base and, you know, how do you get the intelligence to make these products? And you will also have a great sales team to do all these exports and take these approvals in the foreign countries.
So what we've invested in, fortunately, you know, the company has been right. I'm the third generation. You know, we've been very engineering focused. It's only now that we've added people to do branding and all that sort of stuff. You know, the thought process in the company was, okay, you make good products and demonstrate to your customers and they'll approve it and start buying it. You know, so we've always had, right from the last 50 years, we've had always a team that has been focusing on the company's motto. When the company started was called Tomorrow's Progress Today. So that was the mindset. When we rebranded the logo and all of APAR, at that time when we did that exercise, we then changed it to Tomorrow Solutions Today. Because ultimately what we found is all our growth is happening by sitting with the customer and understanding what problem they have and what solution they're looking for. You provide that solution, then you become, you know, that much more valuable to the customer. So all of these products have actually come by looking at some expertise which we think we can develop in-house and our customer requirement being there. So we have teams in and all the plants, every plant has an R&D center which is DSIR approved, the Department of Science and Technology. And we don't capitalize any R&D spending. Whatever spent is expensed. In some of these cases, you don't know. Like, for example, all this railway and this Navy stuff, they've developed so many different types of cables for the Navy. So if you develop 50 cables, maybe 10 of them will actually get up. Because they themselves are also experimenting. Until you develop this, then they change the spec. But it helps enhance your total capability. The same thing with export. We saw in our oil business, when we started going out of the country for transformer oil, similarly for conductors, the standards which people, you know, put on you when you go overseas is very, very much higher than here. Here, so meaning people are ready to overlook issues there. It's a go, no go. If you don't need all this, you please take it back. It doesn't matter how much it costs. You know, you can't even sit in front of them and say, okay, go, boy, I'll reduce the price by 5%. You take it. It's a go, no go.
Any product adjacencies you will be looking in medium term, sir? Like,
any
cables and conductors you have, like metering or anything you will look at a bit?
We have so much of room to go. This business can become a 10,000 crore business in 5 years. So, just I think we, you know, the focus has helped us. There's no need to look here and there, you know.
The gross working capital, any reduction will happen with B2C coming into play. Our working capital days, gross, I mean, inventory plus receivable, can it come down directionally lower, sir?
So as the B2C part grows, yeah, obviously it will. But then, you know, when you have the turnkey side of the business growing, then that eats up a bit of money. Because what happens is that a certain portion, that last 10% is generally kept for you to complete demonstrating, you know, all the requirements which are there. So we've been quite good in terms of getting that released. But, you know, it takes... That may take several more months. Because what happens if a line has to be completed, only 10% of the line is left. But that retention is there, you know, until that 10% is completed, you can't lay your hands on it. The whole line has to run. So that's one of the reasons why we want to focus on the, and plus the branded side of the business, you know, we see the whole wires market getting far more organized. You see all the branded players, their largest market share they're taking away is from the unorganized sector.
Correct.
The Polycabs, Havells, RR, Finolex, KEI. It's not that the wires market is growing at the same pace at which they are growing.
But now, to an extent, they have become organized trust, like 70-75% plus market would have become organized trust. Like 3 years GST and everything got implemented. So now, unorganized should be very small.
There's not that much differential in the price available, not true. Pay GST on copper, you pay GST on your polymer. And the number of avenues, and as the IT setup improves with GST, they're able to trace who's evading GST. Something is happening and also, I think.
And a little more money here. So this is the place where markets really give.
Yeah, so we have a plan to do that. But you know, the thing is that you've got to make a fundamental call of whether you want to go through a wholesale, semi-wholesale strategy, or you want to go through with a distribution led strategy.
Yeah.
And our sense is that if we go through with a distribution led strategy, then if you take all the companies, Havells is the only one that has really got. If you take Polycab also, 10% of their sale is non-cable sale. If you take KEI, they have nothing which is non-cable. Havells is the only one that has really, and they have, like, wherever they have very strong distribution, they have the full product basket that goes. So I think if we build a distribution, it may take a couple years longer. Other product extensions can also then be sold better. So I think that seems like a strategy we want to go through, right or wrong.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.